Morning. What's very nice about calling this a Nach Shir instead of just like a Haftarah Shir is that we are not limited to the Haftarah. So if we want to do something else, we are allowed to. It is not a violation of the law and assumption of the Shir. As we saw with when we did Eicha for a little bit, but I figured it would be nice for us to take a look at a Perek of Tehillim that we're going to become very much acquainted with, but I would like even as a familiarity, and that is going to be the David Hashem Ori. And we're going to be saying it later this week, Rosh Chodesh El, and it's going to continue until how long? Right, through Shmini Atzeres. So we are going to spend almost 2 months with David HaMelech in this parak of Tehillim. So it's good to take a look at what it means on a deeper level. I think we can spend the rest of the week on it. And hopefully that'll do a little bit of justice and enhance our saying it, some of the Kavanos we can try to appreciate on a deeper level. So it is Perek Chav Zayin Tehillim. And I guess the first question that we're going to ask, and this is not, again, this is not a textual question, this is just a what we do with it question, right? These are some of the questions that we have in the back of our minds when we learn the Haftarah, right? There's the internal question of looking at the text itself, letting Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, whoever it may be, speak for themselves what they're trying to tell us. And then there's what we the Jewish people, have done with it over the generations, right? So why did Chazal choose these as the Haftaras of Parnus or Nechamta? Why did they choose that? And then that's a different question. What did whoever it was back in the day see that connects Parshas Noach to the words of Yeshayahu in Nun Dalad and Nun Hey? So that's an external question. So what's going to be the big external question here as we learn Perek Chav Zayin? What's going to be the external question?
What connects it from Elul with Shmini Atzeres?
Why was this Perek chosen to be said at this point? Right, I mean, I believe some Sfaradim say it throughout the year. But Ashkenazim are strongly encouraged. I don't know when exactly the Minhag started. I believe Leibowitz has a 15-minute, 10-minute halach on it, so you can take a look at that. Maybe I'll listen to it and give the short chazara on it. But we're not doing a halacha shir, nor are we doing a Jewish history shir. It's just to understand that for a long time we've been encouraged to say this parak in particular during this time. So it's an external question. It's not like David HaMelech, why did you decide this question? That's when we read the text and try to understand the words of David HaMelech. But we should try to understand why we do the things we do, why it is a minhag for Klal Yisrael in the Ashkenazic world to read it after Shacharis, and many Sfardim, if they don't already do it, do make an effort to do it as well during this time. And then there's a Machlokes. You should do it a second time every day. Do you do it the second time by Mincha, after Mincha? Do you do it after Maariv? Normally Nusach Ashkenaz does it after Maariv. Nusach Sfard does after Mincha. But Klal Yisrael, especially nowadays, is nohig to say this twice a day, every day, from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Shmini Atzeres. So why would that be? Okay, so that's a question. That's a question that we have. We'll read the first pasuk and then we'll get to a famous explanation for it. We'll see if there's more after. So let's begin. L'David Hashem, so L'David, right? This is a mizmor, a song, a parak of Tehillim, a shira written of David. Hashem, let's speak about Hashem, Ori v'yishi, he is my light and he is my salvation. Mimira. From whom will I be afraid? Will I fear? Hashem Ma'oz Chayai. Hashem is the Ma'oz of my life. From whom shall I dread, I guess? So a Ma'oz. So what's the Shorosh of Ma'oz?
Ma'oz.
Oz, right? So it's like this brazenness, this boldness. Hashem Ma'oz Lemo Yitain. So Hashem is Ma'oz. Ma'oz means like the source of strength. He is where I draw my strength from. So who is, so how can I, like why would I be afraid of anything? Now these words, Ori Vayishi, my light and my salvation. So what does that mean, and what can that possibly allude to? So some of Farshim speak about this term Ori and Yishi. So Radak says, "Bavahu Ori Yishi Mira Vamar Ori Ki Tsaros Doma L'Chashecha." He says, "Tsaros, suffering, is like darkness. Right? I'm going through a dark time. It's a dark time in Jewish history. Right? So that's what Tsaros are Chashecha." The teshuva mimena hi ha'ora, and from the teshuva, from the salvation, comes light. And then you have light. The huma os chayai gankin, and Hashem is also the ma'os chayai, the source of strength in my life. So he says, okay, so like ori is like, it's just like a light. It's, you know, it's the light that comes from the salvation. It's a little bit strange to say that, though, because then you would expect the salvation to be first, unless the light is an indication of the salvation. Mesudah would say similarly, Hashem Ori, Halo Hashem Orli, Be'is Tzara. And Kain Mira, isn't it true that Hashem is the light for me in times of suffering? So, why should I be afraid? Now, Chazal say on this, I was looking at my notes on this morning on my phone, and I thought I had notes on that. I saw it this past year or the year before, in Midrash Rav or Midrash Tanchuma, I forgot where. I thought I wrote up notes on it, and I couldn't find it. So I'm going to check when I get to a computer. But I think it's a relatively famous Midrash regarding L'David Hashem Ori, which explains a possible source for why we say it during this time. They say that alluded to in L'David Hashem Ori are the young Naraim and then some. Right? So, does anybody know this Midrash, what I'm referring to? L'David Hashem Ori V'yishi. So, Chazal say, the Midrash, they say, L'David Hashem Ori, that is Rosh Hashanah. V'yishi, salvation, that is Yom Kippur. And then if you fast forward a little bit, go down a few lines. Ki it's b'neini b'suko. What do you think that is? If you had to guess. That's right, it's Hanukkah. Because, no, right, they say Sukkot. Right, it's b'neini b'suko is Sukkot. So we see over here, Ori yishi, it's b'neini b'suko, b'yom ra. So this is Sukkot. So that's what Chazal say, and it's an allusion to the time period of the Chagei Tishrei, of, you know, leading into Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then Sukkot. But what we have to ask, right, so the Yitzvah name of Sukkot, that's a good one. That one, I see that, right? Sukkot, Sukkot, sounds alike, it's all good. Ori V'yishi, what is that? How is Ori V'yishi Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Any thoughts? Ori V'yishi. Why is Ori? Is that Uriel? No time. Hello. Yeah.
So I'm saying, because there's salvation, Yom Kippur is the happiness that makes me hungry. Children were very serious and Yom Kippur can be your issue, not the day of our salvation, not the day we're forgiven. That's what we need. And the only Hashem, that the day when we crown Hashem as king, that's when Hashem really becomes our life. That's when we acknowledge that.
Right. So, I mean, right. So that's what we're going to ultimately say. It's because it does a little bit sound backwards, that there's like a Yeshua. You expect that, especially based on the Rebbe, a Yeshua first, a salvation, then there's light, then things are good. Like, Hudim Haisa Ora, when there's a salvation. Right? That's what you would expect. But it's the Ori V'Yishi, and then it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But then again, many point out that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur seem a little bit backwards. Has anybody ever heard this thought or thought of this point that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are a little bit out of order? Have you ever noticed that? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur might seem a little out of order. Well, let's think about it. Rosh Hashanah is Judgment Day. That's when Hashem looks at all my averos and all my mitzvos and decides whether or not I'm going to live out the year, whether or not I'm going to be able to make ends meet, or not, whether I'm going to wander. Mi anuach, mi anuach. Hashem is deciding this on Rosh Hashanah. And then, 8 days later, Hashem forgives you for all your averos, kapara, slach lanu, mechal lanu, kaper lanu. Wouldn't it make more sense for Hashem to first forgive us for all our sins? Big day of tshuva, kaper lanu, mechal lanu, slach lanu. Right? So all that, it's all good. And then, okay, Yom Kippur's over, let's have our big judgment. Wouldn't that be a much nicer way to begin our year? Think so? Hey, Jesse, what do you think? You agree with that? Should we put in a suggestion? Okay. All right, so I'll have my people call Hashem's people. We are Hashem's people. What?
Fernando
Nicotto. Yeah, Fernando Nicotto. Okay. So, what's going on here? It seems backwards. And there are different layers to answering here, but I think just the simplest approach is that, yeah, that sounds lovely, but that wouldn't work. Because you need Rosh Hashanah to precede Yom Kippur, because That's how you start off the aset. That's how you start the aset mitzvah. Rosh Hashanah is a wake up call to remind you that Hashem is in the world and He runs the world. He's King of the world. Right? You can't even begin to talk about real intense tshuva and returning to Hashem. Tshuva meyira, tshuva me'ava. You can't even begin to do that. You can't have a conversation with somebody before you know they exist. And during the year, we often act as if Hashem doesn't exist. Now, that sounds very strong, very harif, and it's like, oh, we're not kofrim. It's true. But isn't it true also that every time we do an aveira, for that moment, we act as if Hashem doesn't exist? Right? We wouldn't speak Lashon Hara ever if we really felt the divine presence with us at that moment. There's a reason we don't speak Lashon Hara on Yom Kippur. Part of it is that we're spending most of the day in the shul. Part of it might be that we're a little tired from fasting. But I think the biggest part of it, well, part of it is also because I'll say that the Satan has no shlita on Yom Kippur. But the most rational way to explain that is about what I'm about to say, is that we feel the presence of Hashem very, very close to Yom Kippur. Because we've been working on it for 10, perhaps 40 days, on trying to feel Hashem very, very closely. And on Yom Kippur, no one's telling Lashon Hara. And if they are, then they didn't have a real Rosh Hashanah. And they didn't have a real Elul. They didn't have a real Asher Shnei Tshuva. They didn't have a real Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia is like, based, I mean, it's part of it. It's some Lashon Hara, misunderstanding of Lashon Hara. Rosh Hashanah is a necessary wake-up call. That's what Rambam says about the shofar. It's for the sleepers and the slumberers to wake up from their sleep. So throughout the year, we are sleeping, right? That's a nice way to put it. Rambam puts it that way. He says, you're not kofrim, you're just sleepers, you're slumberers, you're asleep. You can't just jump into Yom Kippur. You need Rosh Hashanah first, that needs to precede it. But once you hit Rosh Hashanah, now we're awake. Now, I forgot. There is a God in the world. He runs the world. He's the creator. He's the Melech. We coronate him as king. You don't have to coronate somebody as king if they're already king. In Kaviyako, it's that in our lives, in the way we live our lives, God wasn't king. Because you do what the king says. There's a fear. There's a pachad of the king. There's a reverence of the king. And if you acted throughout the year as if he wasn't the king, then he wasn't the king, and it requires a new coronation, Kaviyacha. So once we get there, once we have a Rosh Hashanah, if you fulfill your Rosh Hashanah properly, Rosh Hashanah is a light. It's an or. It's a whoa. I've been living in darkness, not the darkness of pain, also, but I've been living in darkness of the purpose of life. I've been walking through a godless world, in a sense. Again, speaking in strong terms, but to some degree, acting as if it's a godless world. And Rosh Hashanah, we say, Hashem Ori. Hashem is my light. Oh my Hashem, there is a Hashem. And once you have that realization, that's why Rosh Hashanah, you notice in the davening, we don't mention anything about tshuva. There's nothing about tshuva in Rosh Hashanah davening. Come on, nothing. We don't do slichos, Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah about? What's the word that we see a billion times? What's the theme of Rosh Hashanah? Melech, Malchus. That is the theme of Rosh Hashanah. It's coronating Hashem. It's welcoming Hashem back into our lives. So when you so that is Ori, the light, the lighting up the world, the awakening of our hearts to internalize the fact that Hashem Hu Elokim, or not really Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Melech, Hashem Hu Elokim is going to be really internalized by Yom Kippur. And then we can get to the Ishi. Then we can get to salvation. And perhaps we'll speak a little bit more tomorrow about that. I'll just leave off with a question. Okay, so Hashem Ori, I hear that. Hashem Yishi is my salvation. There are better words, right? More Yom Kippur Dika words, right? Hashem, Kaparasi, man, maybe it's a little strange. Hashem is the one. Hashem is the Mochel. He's the Soleach. He's the Salcha Mochlan. There are other words that are a lot more Yom Kippur-y than Lashon of Yeshua. And Chazal are reading it into David HaMelech's words, but there needs to be something about Yeshua that screams out to Chazal that say, "Wow, David, Ruach HaKodesh, whether consciously or not or subconsciously." Intended a message of Yom Kippur in the word Yeshua and Yishi. So what is that? The Bezus Hashem, we'll discuss that tomorrow.